Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who've suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message is, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi, me, and our guest on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
Our blog is so heartfelt. When I go on the blog and we answer these emails that come in, they're just amazing, aren't they?
They are. They're very heart-wrenching.
The things that people are going through and dealing with, and the idea that people log in, and we hope you'll all go on the blog and log in and give our folks who send us these emails advice, comments, thoughts about what you've done. I mean, some of the comments we get are just wonderful, aren't they, Heidi?
They are, and I think, like you said, thoughts about how did you get through it. I've noticed a lot of people are saying, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this pain. I can't do it anymore, and other people are coming on saying, I was there too. I had that kind of pain. Hang in there. You're not alone. You're going to get through this.
So you guys out there listening to the show, you're our advice givers, the people who are a little further down the road. Some of you are there to get the advice, and some of you are a little further down the road that can give it. So we truly hope that you'll log in. We have a couple of emails that are really heart-rending. One from Libby talking about her daughter and her boyfriend were killed on the highway October 7th. A car had broken down and they got out and they were killed together.
And they got out to help somebody else.
Yeah.
And were run over.
Incredible. So if you've got any thoughts for Libby, please send them to her. And we have our thoughts for her. We send our love, and we know that this is an incredibly difficult time for you.
Absolutely. And I wanted to say one more thing about that email. I thought it was so wonderful that they buried. They were only 18 and 20, the two that died, and they were boyfriend and girlfriend. They buried them together.
Yeah, that's
amazing. I love that.
An incredible thing. And then another email we have up that you might want to log in and give some help to was about a husband who was murdered on October 8th. Mm-hmm. So, again, the father of two boys. I mean, it's just a
very hard.
Very, very hard thing. And, again, our hearts go out. And if our audience, if you have any comments, please go on the blog and blog in and give people support. So
I give people so much credit for getting on the blog early after a loss and sharing their stories so that they can reach out to others.
Absolutely. Heidi and I talk about how important it is to tell your story and to get it out there and to get through this difficult time that you're having. And one of the things that I think was difficult for a lot of folks was Halloween, Heidi. It was last night, and I know for a lot of people who lost small children, for some people it's not a non-event, but for other people it is a huge holiday, isn't it?
Very much, because, I mean, you trick-or-treat and people are ringing your doorbell and there's, like you said, all these children dressed up in all these costumes, and it brings back, I think, a lot of memories and memories of what you've lost.
Mm-hmm. But also, as you get a little further down the road, we've talked about the continuing bonds, and it can also bring out happy memories, later on.
It can, and it can be a joyful, wonderful experience to see a child that was your child's age, like you said, after you've kind of gotten further down the road and kind of have children in your life.
Yeah, and getting the pictures out of your children. And we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and we just wanted to say that we'll be talking a little bit more about the holidays and getting through. And our heart, you know, goes out to you at this time of year. And we, again, the most we can say is others have been there before you and made it, and we know you will too, right, Heidi?
Absolutely, yes, and don't be afraid to accept help. It's hard to accept help oftentimes. It's oftentimes easier to give help, but please accept it. And realize that when you accept it, you're helping others heal. Those that are helping you are healing.
Absolutely, because we know one of the first things that come to your healing is taking care of yourself at first, and then reaching out to others as time goes on can be very healing. And we have somebody on the show who has done that in spades, right, Heidi? Could you introduce
Absolutely.
Lisa?
Absolutely. Yes, I'd be honored to. Our guest today is Lisa Niemer, and our topic is dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. Lisa's 10-year-old son, David, was diagnosed with AML leukemia in 1996. Her life was never the same. David's protocol required 3 rounds of chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant donated by his 14-year-old sister, Rachel. David fought hard for 2 years until he passed away on August 6, 1998, from a lung infection. In David's memory, Lisa, who is a social worker, started the Healing Heart Foundation. The foundation mission is to help chronically, terminally ill children with their pain and to improve palliative care for chronically and terminally ill children. Lisa has also founded the David Center for Pain and Palliative Care at Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you on the show, Lisa, and we're just really impressed with the work you've been doing to help families and children. Before we talk about your foundation, could you tell us a little bit about David and his experience and your experience?
Sure. David was a pretty amazing, normal little 10-year-old child who really played soccer, played hockey, loved life, and started getting tired and lots of sinus infections. We had him at the pediatrician. They kept giving him the antibiotics. Turned out it wasn't really being tired and infections. It turned out to be leukemia, which we found, you know, everybody's like, didn't you notice bruises? You know, you have a 10-year-old kid who's...
Exactly, an active boy.
An active boy, you know, and at 10, they're not letting you shower them anymore.
It's true.
So, yeah. You know, we just thought he was tired. He
I think it's cool. Yeah. So
you know,
great that you're coming in with this right now early, because I know our audience out there is going, oh, my gosh, I feel so guilty. I've lost a child, and here you are early on expressing...
There's a lot of guilt involved. You know, you're the mom. You're supposed to keep your child safe and sound, and you don't do that. You know, what kind of mom are you? And that's kind of what your identity is as a woman, as a mom. So what do you do with all of
that? So people are saying to you, didn't you notice, and you're taking David in and talk a little more
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. You know, we didn't, you know, we kind of explained, obviously, he's an active 10-year-old. He was having trouble breathing. It turned out his lymph nodes were so swollen they were strangling his trachea. You know, he was admitted to the ICU immediately, did a bunch of blood tests, and kind of in the middle of the night came in and said, well, your son has leukemia. And we're kind of looking at him like, well, wait a minute, he was having trouble breathing. Where is this coming from? And obviously the next day, the oncologist came in and told us he had AML leukemia, which is an adult form of leukemia that children get. And the only way that this can be treated is with inpatient chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant.
They dropped that right on you?
Within the first 10 hours of knowing. The next morning they did a bone marrow biopsy, and at that time put chemotherapy right into his spine. So we had about 8 or 10 hours, and we're like, to make these decisions. Do we want to keep him here? What do we want to do? And my husband is a physician, so that kind of made it even more urgent, like, okay, we really need to have good medical care here. We know what's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a torturous, days.
Basically, you took a boy who maybe had an allergy problem or had asthma or who knows what into the hospital. The next day, he's got leukemia and he's on chemotherapy.
Exactly.
What an incredible shock. At that point,
the infection was so bad. He had 104 fever, and we were hoping he was making it through the night.
Uh-huh.
So you go from everything, you know, having you know, the heat is on the table ready for dinner and all of us eating to, oh my God, he's having trouble breathing, let's go to the emergency room. And obviously that was my last normal day of an intact four-person family.
Oh, wow, a shock.
And I've got to say something that it's interesting in hearing your story. For parents out there that are listening that are feeling guilty that they didn't recognize the signs, this is such a good example of how you really couldn't recognize the signs. Here, your son's father is a physician.
Right.
And the signs were still not recognized.
Yeah, there's no possible way to have known this other than
right.
taking a blood test.
Okay.
We had been at the pediatrician in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and the pediatrician wanted to do a blood test, and my son, being the negotiator that he was, said, can I please have 24 hours? I promise if I'm not better in 24 hours, I will come back 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and you can take my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the pediatrician was like, fine. You know, I mean, we weren't, none of us, I mean, the pediatrician, my husband, us, we didn't think that we were, you know, no one thinks you're dealing with a life-threatening
exactly.
disease. You know, your child has a cold, you're not going to the life-threatening disease.
Well, and David was so healthy and playing sports. And
yeah, oh, he was perfectly healthy. Happy kid with tons of friends. And so this was totally a surprise.
Wow. Well, it's time for us to go to break now. And I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Lisa Niemer about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. Please stay tuned to hear more, and you can join us on our show by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like to email us about this show or upcoming shows, you can reach Heidi and I through our blog, thegriefblog.com. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Let's face it. Hormones happen. Whether you're a male or female, hormones have an impact on your overall well-being. Dr. Hart brings to the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel timely topics that answer your lifelong questions about hormones in men, women, and teens. Tune in to Optimal Wellness every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Optimal Wellness. Live life well. Live life long. Live life to the fullest.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. Thegriefblog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today with Lisa Niemer talking about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. Lisa's 10-year-old son, David, was diagnosed with AML leukemia. David fought hard for 2 years until he passed away in 1998. In David's memory, Lisa started the Healing Heart Foundation. The foundation mission is to help chronically terminally ill children deal with their pain and to improve palliative care for these children. Lisa has also founded the David Center for Pain and Palliative Care at Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, welcome back, Lisa. When we went to break, we were talking a little bit about David and what a wonderful child he was and great at sports and was able to talk the doctor even out of taking a blood sample, which I thought was pretty amazing.
He was a real good negotiator.
And how he was suddenly diagnosed, the family went, as you said, from eating fajitas or sitting down at the table with fajitas to a boy who wasn't able to breathe to into the hospital and the next day on to chemotherapy and a journey for the family. Well, I know one of the things that when I met you at a conference for pediatric palliative care, I was impressed with the fact about your daughter giving him a bone marrow transplant.
Rachel.
And yeah, Rachel, and tell us how that happened and how that the family dealt with that and how Rachel dealt with it.
Well, it's pretty funny that it's Halloween because we all got tested on Halloween for our blood typing to see if she was a match. We had about a 25% chance that it would be her. We were lucky enough that she was his match, a 10 for 10 match.
That's amazing.
They had the exact same DNA.
That's amazing.
In all of the horrendous, you know, stuff about the leukemia, that was the little bright spot. And, you know, we sat and talked to Rachel and explained, you know, she was 14. You know, you have a choice. You know, you can do this or not. And she looked at us like we were totally crazy and said, of course, there's no doubt in my mind that I will be doing this. And he had to go through the three rounds of chemo before.
You know, that makes me want to cry.
But
it's really heart-rending.
She was so amazing about it.
And to think that she has the exact same DNA. I mean, there's something about that.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, there's something that just, that was the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she got very upset when people said, oh, you're a hero, you know, you're saving your brother. And she kept saying, I'm not the hero. He's the hero.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that
mm-hmm.
deals with the illness on a day-by-day basis.
Right.
I'll have one day of pain. This is an accident of genetics that I can help him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm part of this picture. But we all need to focus on him.
Very
and
mature.
Constantly would say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is she now, and how did she...
She's pretty amazing now.
Yeah. I mean, does it impact her, do you think, that she has the same DNA as her brother?
I think it impacts her a lot. I don't think in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a positive way.
I think she feels
like she carries his spirit with her.
Yep.
And has made a point that she is going to live her life to the fullest, no matter what. She's a trapeze artist. That's what she does. She's, as a matter of fact, just got a brag a little bit about my child who just got accepted to the festival in Paris, the Cirque du Monde.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's going to be, it's like the Circus Olympics, and she's one of the only acts from the United States. Her and her boyfriend, Ben, they're a duo Madrona, and I'm so proud of her, and she just made a decision that she needed to follow her passion, and I'm so incredibly proud of who she is and what she's become, you know, being able to take in all of the sadness and turn it into this positive.
You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it, Heidi, about some of the siblings we interview on the show?
Well, it's important, Lisa, for the parents out there to hear that your daughter has gone on to have an amazing life and do wonderful things and live a full life and become, she's got strengths that other kids don't have because of what
exactly.
She's been through.
Well, I think it's interesting because when, I guess, about a month after David died, she wanted to go into New York City or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, absolutely not, you can't do that. And she, like, got right into my face and she said, Mom, I didn't die with David. I'm alive, I'm here, and you're going to have to let me be me, and walked away.
Good.
And I think that made a huge impression on me because I realized that all I wanted to do was keep her, you know, hold on and tie her to her bed and keep her safe forever. And that would have been the worst thing that
because
I could do.
Because she is an only child now, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a teenager when David died.
She was 16 when he died.
Right. That's such a hard time for families. Exactly what you're saying, the dynamics, Lisa, because teenagers are needing more autonomy, they're needing to separate, and parents get nervous and want to hold them closer.
Exactly. And I'm lucky enough that she was independent enough to be able to say to me, I can't let you do this to me, and I'm not going to let
now
you do this
to have
me.
A normal childhood.
Yeah. Now, did she have counseling to get to that, Lisa, or was she able to get there?
Minimal counseling. We had done some family counseling right afterwards. She probably went for a couple months, and then she said, Mom, this isn't doing anything for me, and I need to walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, and she had a great support system. She had great friends, and, you know, we kind of let her do what she needed to do.
So for the audience out there, I always say counseling is fine if you feel like you need to have counseling, and there's nothing wrong with it. However, there's some people who won't benefit from it or don't want to do it, and some kids who they don't have to.
No.
You know,
For her, it worked for a short period of time, and then she just needed to deal with it. I mean, she always knew that we were there if she needed anything, and that she could go to counseling at any time. It was an option that was there for her. But at that point, we didn't feel like we needed to push her.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. You have formed this foundation, Healing Heart Foundation, and it's involved with pain and palliative care. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the pain that David had, in that how do families deal with it after that memory of the pain, and maybe how do you deal with the hospital, how, you know, after a child dies, if they didn't feel like they did it correctly, or, you know.
Good question, because I think people can get into just being consumed by thinking about the pain their children were in at the end.
Yeah.
Pain was always an issue for David. We were pretty lucky because we had Gary Walco, who was his pain specialist at Hackensack, who really taught him self-hypnosis. He really was wonderful with him. But it still wasn't always managed. And I guess I felt like this is a child that should be managed 100% of the time. And it wasn't.
There's no reason not to manage
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Did you feel that he was terminally ill, or did you, continue? You continued with the hope that he'd recover, right?
Right. I mean, he was in remission after the bone marrow transplant. He was doing great, and we thought we were kind of out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we found out was that the chemotherapy that they do before the bone marrow transplant had destroyed a piece of his lung.
Uh-huh.
So that was more our issue. I mean, obviously it was the leukemia that killed him, but it wasn't an active case. It was the complications.
Now, was that a mistake that they made in your mind, and how does our audience deal out there that's sitting there with what they feel like?
I don't think that was a mistake. I think it was a risk that we took.
Okay.
I think that when you sign your child up to have a bone marrow transplant, you know that they could die in the process. But they're going to die if you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, as a parent, you're between a rock and a hard place. When they hand you that, 25-page document to sign with anything and everything that could happen to your child,
mm-hmm.
And you signing this and you feel like, oh, my God, I just signed my child's life away, but if I don't sign it, I'm definitely signing my child's life away.
And that must have been devastating for the family, and I'm thinking for Rachel. Here, David had been doing well, and it had been a successful bone marrow transplant,
right.
And then that you guys get this news.
Yeah, it was.
Now, did he get out of the hospital after the transplant?
Oh, yeah. He was in the hospital for about 3 months, and then he was home for almost 6 months.
Wow.
You know, in and out, he was able to go back to school a little bit, and he was doing great. He had a little bit of graft versus host disease, which comes from the way that he accepts Rachel's blood transplant. So, a little bit in his eyes and stomach. So, but that was, definitely dealable.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it is what it was,
Mm-hmm. Now, here your husband is. He's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was his specialty?
Orthopedic surgery.
Are you your ex husband, right?
My ex-husband.
Yeah. I was wondering, from the male point of view and from a doctor point of view, for our audience out there who have husbands who are doctors or ex-husbands, you know, what did you see in that? And also the men in grief. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's really hard, especially for physicians who are used to being in control and going in, finding the problem, especially as an orthopedic surgeon. The bone is broken, you fix it, it's done. He couldn't do that for his son, and kept a lot of his emotions inside. And it made it very difficult because you have to talk about it somewhere along the line. And, you know, most of the time we were okay and we could get through each crisis, but he found his solace in work. And that's where he put a lot of energy. I mean, he loves his son and loved me with a heart and soul, but it was just very, very difficult.
Well, I'm thinking he also could run in and see him. Did he work at the same hospital?
When he was doing his initial chemotherapy, but not the bone marrow transplant.
I was thinking, you know, you could run in and say hi and then run to work. So
right.
you could really compartmentalize
he
it.
He saw him every day. I mean, that's not, I mean, we kind of made a decision when David first got sick that we were going to do dinner as a family every night.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we felt like we weren't going to lose that because David was in the hospital. So even if Rachel had a ton of homework, she knew she had to come at least for 1 hour so that the four of us could sit together. Even if David was asleep, the three of us at least had an hour. We knew we had an hour of quality family time every day.
That's kind of amazing, isn't it, Heidi?
It is. And I'm thinking, and I've heard these stories before, it must be very strange to have a routine and get to know the medical staff really well and have all these people in your life because they're all trying to save David's life and have all these rituals around, you know, going to the hospital, et cetera, and then all of a sudden your son dies, and not only do you lose your son, but you lose all these people in the medical community.
You know, Heidi, you're making an important point, and I think we should come back from break on that point, on how do you deal with it when you've had this whole system going on and suddenly it ends. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're speaking to Lisa Niemer about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. If you'd like to call on our show, our toll-free number is 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like to email us, you can email us through our blog, thegriefblog.com. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley, co-host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you've lost someone close to you, the holidays sometimes aren't as happy as they used to be. That's one of the reasons we created the Grief Blog. Visit www.thegriefblog.com and take advantage of the articles, stories, radio show archives, and comments all about dealing with loss. We'd love it if you'd share some of your holiday stories, poems, recipes, and traditions with our growing community of people just like you and just like me who've lost someone close to them. It's as easy as sending an email and a great way to remember and honor your loved one. Please tune in Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, to Healing the Grieving Heart on Voice America, and have a happy and safe holiday season.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Tired of those fad diets and exercise routines that you don't stick with? Want to find a better way to incinerate fat and energize your life without those worthless pills or gimmicks? Then tune in every Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific to Fitness Truth with hosts Zach Hunt and A.J. Roberts. Achieve your weight loss and fitness goals and maintain them for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. That's Fitness Truth, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life,
your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking with Lisa Niemer about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. Lisa's 10-year-old son, David, was diagnosed with AML leukemia. David fought hard for 2 years until he passed away in 1998. In David's memory, Lisa started the Healing Heart Foundation. The foundation mission is to help chronically, terminally ill children deal with their pain and to improve palliative care for these children. Lisa has also founded the David Center for Pain and Palliative Care at Hackensack University Medical Center. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, when we went to break, one thing I want to do is I want to get to the foundation towards the end of this segment. But before we go to the foundation, we kind of left the last segment on talking about how David was in the hospital, how he had a bone marrow transplant, how he had some prop damage to his lungs that made it impossible for him to go through the healing process. And so he becomes, I assume, terminally ill. The whole community, the hospital, is working with him. Of course, we always hold out hope, right, Lisa?
Oh, you always do.
We never give out hope. But we have a very, very ill child, and we have a community, and Lisa and the family, which is a wonderful thing, we're going and having dinner with David every night. With his sister Rachel was there too. Even though she had a lot of homework, she'd go to the hospital and they would all sit around. I'm curious as to what you ate. Did you take the meal? My husband was just in the hospital, and I hate to say it, but I found the food barely edible. So what did you do?
We used to either Steve would bring food up when he came in with Rachel, and I'd say at least two or three times a week someone sent us dinner. Either friends made us dinner or someone sent us dinner. So we were very, very lucky. I had a huge support system, you know, with friends and family. I am so blessed in that way.
Now, talk to us about your hospital system and then your friends and family system. Talk about people coming and going.
Well, you know, the people in the hospital become the primary caregivers of your child. And I was lucky because they kind of let me take part in that. But they really become your family. They're the people you see day in and day and night. You know, they're seeing you with the filthy, dirty hair and the, you know, pajamas you just walked out of bed with. So they see you at, you know, the good times, the bad times, and when
so
you're
you
really
saying
sad,
you slept
you're
there
talking
some,
to them.
You slept there sometimes?
I slept there every night.
Oh, you did?
I did. I slept there every night, and when I didn't, my husband did. One of us slept there every single night.
For how long? How many nights do you guess?
How many nights? Yeah. Oh, in 2 years, maybe we were home 6 months at most.
Oh. Wow.
You know, I mean...
So this was your other house.
Yeah, we lived there. I mean, when he was doing his initial chemotherapy, we were at Overlook Hospital in Summit, which is kind of a community hospital, and... Excuse me, they used to leave his room. I mean, his room was decorated, I mean, literally like a regular bedroom. Mm-hmm. And when we could go home for 2 days between treatments, they would just leave his room and we'd keep coming back.
This sounds like a wonderful hospital.
We were very, very lucky.
Yeah, and Heidi, that brings me to an email. I'd like to read this email to Lisa because I think it's really kind of what we're talking about. And by the way, we love getting your emails, and you can send it to us through the grief blog. It's an email from Susan from Salt Lake City, Utah, and she said, I saw you were going to do a show about having a child with leukemia. And Susan says that my 4-year-old daughter died of leukemia last year. I frankly feel bitter towards the medical system. We went in and out of hospice care at home, and Wendy had to deal with a different staff each time we left the hospital. It makes me cry just to think about it. So did you have any of those problems with people?
No. We were really lucky that we had the same medical team each time. You know, obviously the nurses changed shifts, but basically everything was the same.
He didn't go into hospice care then?
It didn't really. We're talking 9 years ago. there really wasn't a whole lot of pediatric hospice at all at that time.
In some ways, it's probably lucky that Susan had that.
Yeah, pediatric, I mean, that's kind of one of my passions that, you know, I'm trying to work on, is to see if we can get, you know, in our area in New Jersey, there's no pediatric hospice, and it's pretty scary that there's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think California, they're trying to change the laws now so that all over the nation, so that the same that you can have the same staff when you go in and out. So hopefully, Wendy, that will happen. And I think Lisa's a perfect example, Susan, of how you can, Susan who sent the email, of how you can get involved in your own state. And I think you might want to look into Utah and see what they're doing about keeping the same staff. I know there's a whole bunch going on in legislation, so it might be a place where you can impact, don't you think, Lisa?
Definitely where you can impact. And even just going to whatever the hospice was and explaining what the situation was, and sometimes they don't get that feedback because families are so upset and are grieving and they kind of walk away and they don't get the feedback that could help them change it for the next family. So even if you go back to where you got your care and be able to give them some concrete suggestions, that might make you feel better if the next family doesn't have to go through the hell that you went through.
And also tell them what they did that you liked.
Absolutely.
So
that's important as well.
Yeah, you want, and because people who are working in this field are generally pretty good-hearted folks, and any people who work in pediatrics. So if you can give them, Susan, if you can give them some feedback, and positive and negative, that would be probably a great thing to do for you. Well, I think that takes us a little bit to your foundation, too. Could you tell us a little bit about your foundation, why you did it, how you got involved in it,
and when you started it?
I started it about 6 months to a year after David passed away. I just couldn't sit and do nothing, and I realized I needed to make some changes in things that I saw in the hospital with physicians. And so we sat at my kitchen table with all of my friends and said, okay, this is what I want to do. Who's going to help me do this? And they all did. A good friend of mine is an attorney who is an accountant. They got me through all of the legal stuff, and I was able to hook up with Gary Walco, who at the time was the head of psychology at Tomorrow's Children's Institute, which is the cancer place at Hackensack, Children's Cancer Service. And he was enormous in getting me to kind of focus on goals. He knew that pain was a problem. Let's try and do this. And then basically what you have to do is raise money and raise awareness. And we did golf outings. I did craft fairs. Basically for 3 years it was my full-time job. It was all I did. And I realized as I was doing it, I was also healing.
Mm-hmm. And tell us why. Why do you
Because
think?
I was able to take the focus off of myself and my own sadness and try and focus more of my energy on other people and how I could help them from being in that same spot that I was in.
Now, when did you start doing this? How long after?
It was about 6 months after. It was January of 99, and he died in August of 98.
So 6 months later, you got a group of people together, and you started talking.
Yep.
That's great. I mean, you didn't jump in and do it right away. You couldn't. It takes a long time.
There's no possible way. I think it finally, when I finally realized that what I needed to focus on was David's life, not David's death, is when it turned around for me. And I know that sounds very simplistic, but
it is the hardest thing
in the world to do. You know, I think all of us who have lost a child somewhere think about, do I want to keep going or do I want to stop?
Right.
And for me, it's a very clear-cut decision about what do I want to do? Do I want to die and lay in my bed, or do I want to get up and face the world and deal with this?
Because there are not a lot of choices, are there?
There aren't a lot of choices, and you really just kind of have to decide. And for me, it was, I have this beautiful daughter, I have a phenomenal husband, I need to move forward. And that
Heidi,
is what
I wanted to ask Heidi, from the sibling point of view, do you feel like the same thing happens?
Oh, absolutely. I think my own story is very parallel to Lisa's, where I didn't want to live, and I thought, okay, I didn't want to be in the pain I was in. I wanted to have the pain leave, and so I was like, you know, what am I going to do? I can either live or I can be in a fetal position and hope that I die eventually. And at some point, I decided I want to live, and how am I going to make purpose and meaning out of my life? And it's what Lisa said, I'm going to reach out to others and help them, you know, heal so that I can help myself in return heal.
And it sounds like Rachel's done it through her art and through her the things
right.
that she's
Rachel
done.
Has always been very creative, and that's where she put her energy.
Well, I also love that Rachel's doing the acrobatics, and I feel like she's, like, in the heavens. I don't know if that sounds strange,
that's,
but I kind of feel like...
No, that's a wonderful image.
Yeah, and she's kind of, like, reaching out in a positive way.
Before we go to break, could you talk a little bit about the heart?
We had a heart in our family that was called the Healing Heart. David had had a ski accident, and I had just bought it, and I kind of put it around his neck, and I said, you know, this will be all the family strength and love, and it'll get you through this. And kind of after that, everybody who got sick, oh, I want the heart. And it was this turquoise heart on a, you know, black silk cord. And when David was first diagnosed, one of the first things he asked for was the Healing Heart.
Uh-huh.
So, hence the name of the foundation.
And where's the heart now?
Buried with him.
Ah.
I love that.
Hmm.
And we each have our own.
Oh, you each have your own
heart. We each have our own heart. On the year anniversary of David's bone marrow, he bought his sister the little Tiffany heart.
Uh-huh.
And the next day was Valentine's Day, and my husband and David bought me the bigger one, so my daughter and I have matching ones. When David was in the ICU and dying, my husband realized that he didn't have a heart. So the child life specialist made this little clay medallion and put my son's fingerprint into it.
Oh, my.
And painted it for him, and he keeps it in his pocket so that all four of us could share the heart strength.
That's a wonderful story.
It absolutely is.
Well, we're coming to back. And when we come back from break, I want to talk a little bit more about the foundation, how people can get in touch with you. We've got a wonderful website if people want to read more. And if they want to see a picture of your beautiful son, is on the website. It's a wonderful picture. Let's get the website right now before we go to break. Can you give it to our audience?
It's www.thehealingheartfoundation.com or .org, either one.
That's great. So, and we'll try to get that up on our website. Well, it's time to go to break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're talking to Lisa Niemer today about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, and we hope that you will listen to our archive shows. We want to remind you that you can tell your friends about it, and these shows can be listened to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. TheGriefBlog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking with Lisa Niemer about dealing with the death of a child to leukemia. Lisa's 10-year-old son, David, was diagnosed with AML leukemia. David fought hard for 2 years until he passed away in 1998. In David's memory, Lisa started the Healing Heart Foundation. The foundation mission is to help chronically, terminally ill children deal with their pain and to improve palliative care for these children. Lisa has also founded the David Center for Pain and Palliative Care at Hackensack University Medical Center. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Lisa, we're into our last segment, and one thing I want to say is you're just such an inspiration. I mean, here you went on with your friends to do the foundation and spent, what, like 3 years doing that, and now you decided to go back to school?
Yeah, I went back to school 2 years ago. I was doing
Tell our audience, how long has it been since David died?
David passed away in 1998, August, so it's 9 years.
Okay.
Just
to give our audience an idea, for 3 years, what you did, the foundation.
Right. I mean, I still do that, not as focused, but I still do, you know, do that
intently. For them to set up a foundation, if someone here gets inspired by your story and decides, okay, I can do a foundation, it's a process, right?
It's a huge process. There's a lot of legal things that need to be done and need to be incorporated in board of directors. I mean, things that, like, all you want to do is go raise money and make it better. But unfortunately, there's a lot of legal stuff because you do need to be tax exempt and it needs to go through all government regulations. So it is a process.
So you could either set up your own foundation or you could go and help somebody else with their foundation.
Absolutely.
Right?
And there's a lot of us out there.
So how would people get in touch with you if they live in the New Jersey area or anywhere?
Yes.
They could go onto your website?
Excuse me?
They could go onto your website to find you?
Absolutely. They can go on the website, or you can email me directly, and I'm more than happy to help anybody at any time.
Now, the foundation is www.thehealingheartfoundation.com.
Correct.
And so then you went back to school a couple of years ago, which should be, what, 7 years after David died?
Right. And I had been working in doctor's offices, doing patient education, doing lots of things with the foundation and doing speaking and realizing that really what I loved was the social work aspect of it. And so I went back to school. I got my MSW. And now I am working at an agency, and what I'm doing is I'm working with older adults doing end-of-life, you know, things and other social services and case management, which is totally opposite of my foundation, but I'm trying to keep myself out of my box a little bit, trying to keep myself out of that comfort zone all the time and not get too settled in one thing. Because that's when I end up going back to those deep, dark places, and I don't want to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some of our audience at times make the comment that one of the things that you lose with the child that is a positive thing is a lot of fear about your life. You're willing to take a few more risks. Did you find that?
Absolutely. I've done more traveling and
I went and met my daughter in New Zealand, and she took me on swing bridges over gorges and hiking in glaciers, which if you had asked me, could I have done that, I would have said, absolutely no way. And it's really taken me a lot further, and I think the person that I am today is much more content in who I am, because I understand where I came from so much better.
And you're not afraid to speak candidly and openly with your clients about end of life.
Absolutely. It's a very comfortable place for me. I'm not afraid to die anymore because I've seen it up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a fear for me, and I'm okay talking about it.
That's
great, and I'm sure you're doing great work with those folks. It's interesting to me that you've gone on to work with adults, and I like the idea of getting out of the box, and I hope what our audience is hearing is the newly bereaved, you got to take care of yourself, right, Lisa?
Oh, absolutely. There is no way I could do this immediately. You need to take care of yourself. You need to kind of refill your tanks, your spirit.
And then later on, you can start taking little steps to move out and then go back to school or whatever, the kind of the sky's
the limit. And you also started the David Center for Pain and Palliative Care.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Right, that's the pain service at Hackensack University, and we are doing some pretty exciting things there. We're working on building up our palliative care service there. We have a committee of all of the pediatric directors that meet. Gary Wolko is the head of the David Center, the director. We've hired Susan Cohn, who works in the pediatric ICU. And what she does is she meets with every family, especially the families who are terminally ill diagnosis, and she helps the families and kind of is the negotiator between the physicians and nurses and the family. And she can, do they want a lot of communication? Do they not want the information? And it really has made a difference. And she's paying attention to the children's spirituality, which is huge.
Now, that's a different thing, isn't it? That's
It's we're trying to get some data because I think, unfortunately, hospitals are based on data and funding, and unless we get some hard data that these are things that are needed, it's not going to happen. So that's what we're doing, and we have some research studies out in other pediatric centers, so it's pretty exciting. So
if people wanted to kind of volunteer or find out what you're doing for their own community, how would they do that?
They can either go onto the website or they can email me directly.
Okay, and do you want me to give
your
email?
Yeah, I can give you my regular email, which is LSSN, which are initials.
L is in Lisa.
Right. S is in Sam. S is in Sam. N is in Nancy. 16@comcast.net.
So if you hear something just today, if you've heard something that makes you think that might be some area you want to go into or you want to know more about, please do get in touch with Lisa.
Yeah, I am more than happy to communicate with anybody.
Well, Lisa, we've been so happy to have you on the show today. It's been really fascinating hearing about the things that you're doing and how you've the story of your son's death and all the heart-rendering things and how your family has moved along through this. It's a very inspiring thing to everyone out there, and again, we want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell my story and to be able to talk about the foundation. I truly appreciate it, and both of you do amazing work and are inspiring as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Well, our guest next today was Lisa Niemer. And our guest next week will be Abel Keough, author of a memoir, A Room for Two, based on the suicide of his wife, which caused the premature birth of his daughter. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope, renewal, and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley, and I wanted to end by reading something that Lisa wrote after David died. If love alone could have healed David, the power of the heart would have prevailed. David's fight ended August 6, 1998, but the light that comes from his heart continues to shine within each of us through our healing hearts. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.